Thank Brother Patrick for leading those songs this morning. We're thankful for everyone's presence, and we invite you to open God's Word and study along with us. We are presenting some lessons in regard to the attitude that we should have toward different subjects in God's Word. And last Sunday evening, we talked about our attitude toward the gospel, that we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And today we want to talk about our attitude toward the gospel, and are we willing to be defenders of the gospel? We have numerous people in this congregation who retired military, who have served militarily, and we have members of this congregation who served in the military recently during 9/11 and were sent overseas to Afghanistan and Iraq to defend our freedoms. And when you take an oath to go in the military, you take an oath to defend and protect the freedoms of the Constitution. You say that you will defend that. You're stating that you are willing to shield others from injury. You're willing to protect them, and that's what it means to be one who is a defender. Look with me in Philippians 1, verses 16 and 17. And Paul here states to the brethren at Philippi, "The former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed," some translations might have, "knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." So we can see that the apostle Paul viewed himself as being one who was willing to defend the gospel, like our military is willing to defend our freedoms, willing to defend our homeland, willing to defend our country. And what we want to look at in regard to us as Christians and asking the question, you know, are we defenders of the gospel, what our life should be compared to as Christians. And our life in the Scripture is often compared to a life of warfare. We as Christians are in a spiritual fight, whether we recognize it or not. Satan is our foe. He's our opponent. He is the one who opposes us. And Paul spoke to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verses 18 and 19. He says, "This charge I commit to you, Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Well, what warfare was Timothy involved in? Was he a member of the Roman army? Was he a soldier in the Roman army? No, but he was part of the Lord's army, wasn't he? And he was here in waging this good warfare. And he goes on to say how you go about waging a good warfare is you have faith, having faith in a good conscience, by which some have been rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. So Paul told Timothy to wage a good warfare. He told him how to do it in regard to holding faith in a good conscience. And then he even said, now, just don't think that you will always be successful, because every Christian is not successful in waging this warfare. Look at verse 20. It says, in verse 19, it says, "Concerning the faith, some have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." So we're in this spiritual warfare, and if we're not careful, we can be overcome by the evil one. So we need to understand that. Some Christians survive the warfare, the spiritual warfare, because they look to God, they look for His wisdom, they look for the strength to overcome temptation. Others do not. Well, why do we want to be victorious in regard to the spiritual warfare? Go to 1 Timothy 6 and look at verse 12. And here Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, so you can do what? Lay hold on eternal life. We want to be victorious, spiritually speaking, in this spiritual warfare, so we can lay hold on eternal life. It says, "To which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Well, how did Timothy fight this good fight of faith. How did he lay hold on eternal life? Look back up in verse 11. He says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness." If we're going to fight the good fight of faith, we have to be pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. These are things we have to pursue if we want to be victorious in fighting this good fight of faith and in being defenders of the gospel. Another thing that we realize in regard to soldiers and those who are engaged in warfare is that they go through difficult times. They go through difficulties. There are things that they have to endure in order to be a good soldier. It's the same thing with us spiritually speaking. In 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, it says, "You must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He tells them how to do it. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." So we have to be able to be a good soldier. In order to be a good soldier, in order to endure, we have to know the rules that are laid out for us in the Scripture. We have to know the things that we have to follow, the instructions that we have to obey. All soldiers have orders they have to follow. Everyone who's in the military is subject to following orders that are handed down to them. So we have to do that in regard to our spiritual life. Now, what we know about Paul in regard to this spiritual warfare that he engaged in, he gave his very best. He always gave his best effort to God. And we need to strive also to do our best. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So Paul said, my fight is about over. Paul was in prison. He knew his life was going to be taken from him relatively shortly. And he said, I've fought my fight. I've finished finished the course. I've kept the faith. What about us? Will we receive, and Paul did that so he could receive this crown of righteousness. And he said this crown of righteousness was not just available to him. It's available to us also. It says to all who have loved his appearing. If we're faithfully serving the Lord, then we'll be able to love his appearing when he comes the second time. We will be able to love when we appear before him when death takes us from this life. If we have been faithful in our service to him, we are assured that we also, not just Paul, but that we also can receive this crown of righteousness. Turn over to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. I want to look there at verse 3. And here we're instructed to contend for the faith, to be willing to contend or to do battle for the faith. "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." And we talked about that last week, and sometimes we're ashamed of the gospel. We don't contend for that which we know to be the truth. We need to be willing to be steadfast and to stand up, to stand fast for that which is the truth. And so our life is being compared to that of a soldier. We sing a song, "Soldiers of Christ Arise and Put His Armor On." We're going to talk about that armor in just a minute, because as defenders, we need to understand the necessity of being prepared. A soldier or someone in the military, whatever their situation is, they need to be prepared. How do they prepare? Well, they prepare through training, don't they? They have countless hours of training that they go through. And so we need to understand that in regard to this training that takes place. Notice in verse 17 of our text where Paul said he was set or appointed for the defense of the gospel. What does that mean? We don't say, I'm set for the defense. Paul was prepared to defend the gospel. We need to be prepared. If we're going to be found faithful at the end, when we look at the parable, the judgment parables, in Matthew chapter 25, who were the ones who received the blessings? The ones who were prepared. The ones who were ready. And so that's what we need to stand ready and willing to do. And in order for us to be prepared, we have to have some knowledge, don't we? We have to have some knowledge about certain things. Turn over to Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke, the 14th chapter, and look at verse 31. Luke 14 and verse 31. And Jesus is speaking here, and he says, what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to meet him who comes against him with 20,000 men? What is the Lord trying to teach us here in regard to, we need to know our enemy, don't we? We need to know what we're up against. We need to know what we are facing. And a lot of money is spent in regard to intel or knowledge of our enemies, to know the strength of our enemies, to know the number of our enemies, to know the weapons our enemies have at their disposal. A lot of money is spent in regard to that through our military, right? But why? Because that's important. That is important. Unless, and just like we must know the strength of our enemies, and it's gained through reconnaissance, Christians are warned about their enemies, those who would be false teachers, those who would arise from within. If we are not prepared today, we will not recognize the enemy. If we don't know the truth that can set us free, we'll not recognize error when it's taught to us. So we have to be able to know our enemy. And preparation doesn't begin the day before a battle, does it? Preparation in the military is a long process. People, and sometimes in times of peace, people have prepared, and maybe never went to war. But you have to be prepared and ready to do battle. Now, we've been involved in it for quite a while now, since 2001. So there is this sense of urgency when it comes to preparation. And the preparation has to be done in advance. It isn't done once the soldiers or the Air Force or the Marines or the Navy, whoever's sent overseas. It doesn't start then. They're prepared ahead of time. They're training ahead of time. So it's advanced preparation that is taking place. Go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And there in verses 14 through 17, I want you to notice something here. This passage is familiar to us, and we're going to look at it a couple times here in the next few moments. But we want to look particularly here at verses 14 through 17, and notice how this is worded. It says, stand therefore, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the word of God. Notice our preparation in regard to this has to be done in advance. It says, having girded your waist with truth. In other words, you're already prepared. You've already done that. You don't wait till the encounter and say, oh, I need to gird my waist with truth. It's too late. It's too late. This is a process that we're going through, spiritually speaking, and we need to be prepared. And he shows us we need to be prepared by saying, having girded your waist, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet. It's not something you do at the last minute. It's something that's done ahead of time. It's something for which we are prepared. And then we must be able to use all the weapons that are at our disposal. Think of all the hours military personnel spend in becoming familiar and using the weapons at their disposal. If you live in my neighborhood, you can hear those weapons being used every night. they're practicing with those AC-130, those Spectre gunships. They don't wait till it's just time to go over. Oh, yeah, well, you know, we got to get ready now. They're preparing ahead of time. They're preparing ahead of time. This preparation is coming ahead of time. And just as they have to become proficient with whatever weapons they have at their disposal, we have to become proficient with these spiritual weapons that are at our disposal. Look there, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 6, and it says, well, I'll read verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Well, how are we strong? Well, we're going to have to prepare. How do we prepare? It says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the scriptures tell us what? That the devil's like a roaring lion, and he's going back, and what does he seek to do? He seeks to devour us, right? So we've got to be prepared against stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So why does a soldier spend so much time becoming proficient with his weapons? Because his life depends on it. His physical life can depend on how proficient he is in the use of a weapon. Why do we need to be proficient in the use of these weapons that we need to put on as the whole armor of God? Because our soul depends on it. Our soul depends on how well we can use these weapons that are at our disposal. Well, how do we come about becoming proficient in regard to these weapons? Well, it takes diligence. The scriptures, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, to be diligent or study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Diligence is needed. That's how we prepare in using the spiritual weapons that are at our disposal. And the thing is that a lot of people today realize we need to be prepared, but they say, well, that's the job of the elders to be prepared. That's the job of the preacher, or maybe that's the job of the people who teach some Bible class, but that's not every Christian's job. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, because we all need to be prepared. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we see it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's true for everybody. We all need to be ready. We all need to be prepared. It's everyone's responsibility in having the proper attitude toward the gospel and being defenders of that which is the truth. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and verses 3 through 5. You know, why does a soldier do all this practice with weapons? So he can develop confidence, right? He can have confidence. A soldier must trust his weapon. Well, we need to develop confidence also. And in 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So God gives the weapons, and we have to become an expert in their use. The weapons that God has given to us. He wants us to be well equipped. He doesn't want Satan just to steamroll over us. He wants us to be able to fight this good fight of faith. So he gives us weapons. But we have to become proficient in them. We have to learn to use those weapons that he has given unto us. So we can indeed be one who is ready, one who is prepared. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul told Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished or thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything we need to be equipped with, God has provided it for us. But we have to learn how to use it, and to use it in a way that is proficient, to use it in a way that we are prepared when we engage in the battle. And there is this spiritual battle that's going on. Sometimes we might not acknowledge it as much as we should or recognize it, but we need to understand that there is this spiritual warfare that is taking place. Now, one thing for sure when it comes to defenders, not only do they understand the necessity or how important it is to be prepared, they understand the nature of the task. Defenders know they are in a war. Sometimes, I think we get lackadaisical and we don't remember that we're in a spiritual warfare also that's taking place. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 11. It says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims," so he's talking to Christians, he says, "abstain from fleshly lust which wage war against the soul." The fleshly lust. We know that we're tempted through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He says these things wage war against our soul. So, do we realize that, spiritually speaking? And if we aren't cognizant of the fact that these things are coming our way in the forms of temptation, then we can easily be susceptible to Satan. Now, we noted earlier in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 that we need to be sober and we need to be vigilant. Why? Because we have an adversary. Who is that adversary? That adversary is the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion and seeks to devour us. But do we realize that there is this one who seeks to devour us? Do we acknowledge that? I think sometimes we think, oh, well, I can just get by. I just rely on my own strength, my own knowledge. I'll make it through. And we don't look to the Lord for the help, for the strength, for the guidance that He gives to us. Go back over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. One more time. We'll look at verse 12. I want to notice from verse 12, in regard to our adversary, in regard to the one that we are engaged in this battle. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." You know, it's the easiest to engage in warfare when one nation is wearing one uniform and another nation is wearing another uniform, and you can distinguish who the enemy is, right? But then what happened? People went into guerrilla-type warfare, so there's one nation that's wearing a uniform, and the other nations aren't wearing a uniform. It makes it more difficult to discern who the enemy is, but when they start shooting at you, you know that's the enemy. You've recognized them. Well, when it comes to spiritual matters, we can't see the enemy. We can't see the enemy. But we know the Scripture says that the enemy, the adversary, is indeed there. So we need to be aware of it. And as a result of having such a formidable foe, we need to be willing to stand fast and be steadfast. Turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and look at verse 58. I'll read verse 57. "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We can have victory in this spiritual battle. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." One thing that helps us stand fast or stand firm is our state of mind. Our attitude that we are willing to defend the gospel. You know, today in our military, there is no draft. So people who are in the military, they're volunteering to defend us. That's what they're doing. They're volunteering to defend us. And we need to be willing to defend the gospel. As we talked about last week in Romans 1 and verse 16, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We must not be ashamed of the gospel. If we're ashamed of the gospel, we certainly won't defend it. If we're not ashamed, we will defend it. That's what Paul was willing to do. Note the attitude of Paul. Note the boldness that Paul had. Go to Acts, the 20th chapter, and look at verses 26 and 27. And here Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Paul said, "I'm not holding anything back." He said in verse 26, I should have started there, that he was innocent of the blood of all men because he had not shunned to declare to them the whole counsel of God. Paul stood with boldness. He was ready to defend the gospel. And Paul understood that if he did not have the courage to stand fast and to be bold, that people would lose their souls. So we have to preach the truth. We talked about that. Because only the truth can set us free. We can't preach something that's false and it save anybody. We have to preach that which is indeed the truth. And notice Paul's tactics in regard to this gospel and teaching others the gospel. Go to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and look at verses 19 through 23. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I may win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you." So Paul, just like military, has different tactics. Sometimes Paul was using different tactics for different people to teach them the truth. But he was always teaching them the truth. And so we need to do that also. Well, we realize, and those who are involved and lived in military families certainly realize, that those who are defenders enlist, and at some point, at some day in time, they will have to deploy. They will have to be separated. They will have to go out and defend. And for Christians, it's the same. We joined ourselves voluntarily to the Lord. No one twisted your arm and made you obey the gospel. You decided you needed to obey the gospel. And in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, it says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Whose choice is that? It's not my choice. That's your choice. You can't make the choice for me. I cannot make the choice for you. But when we become Christians, we join ourselves to the Lord. Now, Jesus prayed for his disciples and his apostles and those who had joined themselves to him, that they would all be one. Go to John, the 17th chapter, in verse 21. And I'll go to verse 20. It says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That's us. It says, "That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." See, Jesus prayed for his disciples. He sent out into the world. So we enlisted, we joined the Lord's army by rendering obedience to the gospel of Christ, by being baptized into Christ. The Lord added us to his church. What are our marching orders? Our marching orders are to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be damned. So our orders are to preach the gospel, to not be ashamed of that gospel, to be defenders of that gospel. Well, how are we doing? Are we true defenders of the gospel of Christ? One thing for sure, we cannot be the defenders we should be if we're not prepared. Just like a soldier can't be successful if he's not been trained properly and is not prepared. So we need to begin our preparation today. If you know in your life that you're living, you're not being as faithful as you should the Lord, then you need to repent. You need to make things right. You need to get your preparation in state. You need to be ready to defend the gospel. And if you haven't rendered obedience and submitted to Jesus yet, you need to begin your preparation by submitting to Him. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Jesus said, you know, if we love Him, we'll obey Him. He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. You can obey Him today if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Him. Be willing to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If there's any way we can aid you or assist you, make that need known while we stand and while we sing.